You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is a brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle
Get
Brewer.
Out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
We'll take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was the fantastic. The Ladybird.
Yeah, that's good, too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff, and they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow, good guys, and they live right down the street from here?
They certainly do, and you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Ah, convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
Man, I don't know about you, but this is the greatest fan fiction I've ever seen put to film, because... Oh my gosh.
Greatest or just about, this is the average amount of fan fiction. If you ever, for everyone that ever writes fan fiction online, you're like, oh man, I can't wait. I hope one day it becomes a movie. I'm sorry, but this is what would happen.
Yeah, seriously, like, doesn't it feel like where this writer here, Andrew Lanham, is like, oh man, you know, Pat Garrett's the greatest hero ever. He shot Billy the Kid. You know what I want to do? I want to make my own original character to interact with Pat Garrett in a big other storyline, and we get him and Billy the Kid and all these other historical figures involved in that. Wouldn't it be awesome? And you know what? Vince D'Onofrio is interested in directing it. What could possibly go wrong?
The first 30 seconds of this movie, I knew it was going to go downhill. I was like, maybe it won't go downhill, but like, there's this scene, like, this movie is so, from the very start, this movie does not know what the hell it's supposed to do. For people who don't know anything about what it's supposed to be, it's called, the movie's called The Kid, and in the trailer, you're like, oh, it's going to be a biopic about Billy the Kid, you know, a story that most people don't really know. Because Billy the Kid really just shows up as kind of that weird, it's like Assassin's Creed type shit, where he shows up as a historical character in a bunch of random, you know, Western stuff. It's like, oh, hey, that's Billy the Kid. Most people, if they called this movie Billy the Kid, people would know that immediately, like, oh, yeah, I recognize that guy.
Yeah, no, but the basic story here is where, yeah, we follow, well, you think you're going to follow Billy the Kid because it's called The Kid, but no, yeah. We follow this other kid named Rio, which,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, he does get a name.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, I had to look up on the credits to know that he had a name in this movie, but yeah, so he gets involved with that, him and his family are living in this place, his dad kills his mom and then he shoots his dad, and there's also his uncle, played by Chris Pratt, who's, you know, obvious bad guy is obvious because he's got a giant beard and he stares at you really menacingly. They escape from him, they go on the run, and somewhere while they're fleeing from their evil uncle, they meet up with Billy the Kid right when he's about to get captured by Pat Garrett, the sheriff who eventually shoots him. Which, yeah. Sorry, history is a spoiler. and so that's more or less the plot of just following this kid, following the story of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid while they're trying to travel him to Santa Fe. And then a whole bunch of nothing happens throughout this movie.
Yeah, it's so literally nothing happens. There's a 15-minute scene where they're eating dinner.
Right? Like, and it almost like it gets tense because like, oh, maybe somebody's going to die because Billy the Kid's trying to escape again. But you know that he doesn't. So it's... Okay, let me tell you, from the get-go, the biggest freaking problem with this movie is that freaking kid... Rio. Like, literally, I have not seen a more uninteresting protagonist in a movie than this kid ever. Because, literally, what kind of character growth does he have? What is his development?
Oh, his development is whatever Billy the Kid tells his development, or whatever people, literally people are telling him his development. Like, at one point, after the whole incident that happens at the start, which is hilariously poorly edited, to the extent where I had to rewind it, because I figured I missed something.
This movie is horribly edited, all across the board.
Yeah, so some BS happens where he kills his father. And the thing is I watched the trailer because we talked about it on the Breakfast Show like last week. But I don't know why, but when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, this is how Billy the Kid got a start, right? No. This kid, yeah, he shoots his father really poorly. It's really unclear and off screen. And then immediately gets told his own character development from his sister saying, close your eyes and whoever you want to be, when you open your eyes, that's who you be. That's like one of the two character development moments he gets because other people are telling him this is what you're going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, by contrivances of the plot, people are somehow interested in what's happening to him and his sister. Because it's like, why does anybody care what happens to this kid? He's so uninteresting. Like, literally, there was a point where him and his sister could have just left. Like, just left the plot, nothing would have happened, and we could just follow Ethan Hawke and Dane DeHaan along their way, you know?
Literally, like, cast members say, why are we helping the kid? And Billy goes,
Well, no, Billy goes like, I like you, kid, you're like my only friend in the world, where they've literally only had maybe one conversation with each other up to that point.
So, okay, the funny thing is, I think what they're trying to get with this movie is, it's called The Kid, specific. I think it's called The Kid for a reason, is because it's not supposed to necessarily follow Billy the Kid, even though that's how it was sold. It was following the kid, because they keep calling him the kid. And I think they want to do the narrative device in which you get told the story of a character while following another character, almost something similar to, like, you know, maybe God of War or Last of Us, where you're being told a story through a different protagonist. But the movie never does that because you don't learn anything about anybody involved. You do actually, you learn more about the antagonist of this movie than anybody that's supposed to be driving the plot forward.
Exactly. And, you know, that's so sad because, honestly, one of the few things, because there's maybe three things I liked in this movie. One is the cinematography, which is not the best I've ever seen for a Western film, but the guy who shot it is one of the cinematographers from Daredevil. So it's like, oh, well, Vincent D'Onofrio got his connections to help him with that one.
Right.
Because it looked good throughout most of it.
Sure.
But then two and mostly three, just because it's really, I can't overstress how super talented this cast is for such terrible material. Because Ethan Hawke is giving like 120% in this movie when he clearly doesn't need to at all.
Him, like, Ethan Hawke always, to me, always tries his best. He's always one of those people where it's like, no matter what the job is, he'll do it. But like, Chris Pratt was someone that surprised me because he doesn't get much going on, but like,
he's barely in this movie. He's like in like 10 minutes of this film.
But every single line of dialogue is awesome. Like, oh, yeah. Everything he says, he's really good in Westerns, because I loved him in, not Hateful Eight, what was the other Western that had a number in it?
Magnificent Seven, yeah.
The one, yeah, Magnificent Seven. He's really good as a Western, and you really, like, if you watch Guardians or any of the other movies you're in, you never think Chris Pratt's a great actor, but you see this, you're like, no, you can play a piece of shit Western guy really, really well. Well,
that's the thing what I liked about it, because it's like that whole thing with Once Upon a Time in the West, that classic Western, where you get Henry Fonda, who is a classic good guy, to play the villain. And it's like, yeah, you get Chris Pratt, who always plays likable nice guys in his film, to be this, you know, scummy freaking pervert, more or less, in this movie. And you're like, it actually kind of works really well, and I just wish that he was actually a part of the movie, you know?
Yeah, because it just feels so disjointed, because things just happen as they need to, because, yeah, so because of the main characters just showing up to Billy in the cabin, they get captured and get sent to the town. That's at the point where they basically just chill there for about 15 to 20 minutes of the fucking movie before they get sent to their next destination, where randomly, and this never gets brought up again, but a random conflict that just gets a rise is Vincent D'Onofrio's character says, I want Billy the Kid.
Yeah, out of nowhere, Vincent D'Onofrio decides, I'm going to make a cameo in this movie. So they're entering this town where they have to, like, you know, we need to kill Billy the Kid now because he hurt us and we need to hurt him back. And that lasts all of about 5-7 minutes throughout the entire movie, and nothing's really resolved from that. It just happens and it's over.
Oh, it happens and never gets brought up, because at one point, I'm assuming it's the law in the town they stop into, because they have a barricade, they try to stop him. Ethan Hawke shoots one of them in the leg, and it never gets brought up again, and they never talk about it again. It's like they just forgot that entire sequence happened, because they just leave.
Yeah, that's just so much of this. Like, you feel like, you know, like the main character, you're just being dragged along the plot. Like, there's no momentum, there's no direction, there's no motivation for anything that the main character is doing in this movie. Because, I'm sorry, this kid actor here, Jake Shore, he kind of sucks, honestly.
Because it's weird, because it's like, it's a mix of the dialogue and it's a mix of just what they're given. Because, like, Dane DeHaan throughout this, I'm like, you're either a really good actor or a really bad one. Oh, sorry, not really good. You're either decent or bad.
Like, I think he's actually he's pretty good in this, because he's trying to play Billy the Kid as, like, you know, a scummy Weasley dude, even though Dane DeHaan is clearly like 14 years too old to play this role, because Billy the Kid was like 21 when he died, so.
No, he's fine. Like, honestly, like, when you see him, it's like, he seems fine. Like, he's about 21. I'm like, you know what? I can believe that shit. Like,
I guess so. But that's the thing, again. It's like, you know, Dane DeHaan, Ethan Hawke, Chris Pratt, Vincent D'Onofrio, most of these actors, even freaking Adam Baldwin shows up. You're like, oh, that dude from Firefly, you know? And you're just like, these guys are giving it their all. It's just so lackluster, all this material that they're doing. And the kid actor just has nothing to him. He's just, you know, all throughout the movie, he's got that one kind of tone where his voice is very crackly like this. And he speaks all his lines like that throughout the entire film.
Pretty much. And it's like, it's like, the best way to sum this movie up is just a bunch of random moments that's connected. It's like playing Oregon Trail. You're just kind of going, and then at some point, if someone dies of dysentery, you don't really care, and then you just move on.
I think the people who died of dysentery was us in this movie.
Like, there are so many parts. Like, there are parts I like. Like, when Ethan Hawke's, like, explaining his first kill, I'm like, that's really cool. I really enjoyed that sequence.
Yeah, anytime they just sit down and let the actors act in the movie, those scenes are actually not that bad. You know?
Because Billy the Kid does the same thing later on. But the problem is, like, the transition between what was happening prior to that scene and that scene, it feels like I just went to the bathroom and missed it. Because it's like, it cuts. It just cuts to him acting his ass off. I'm like, for no fucking, it's like the whole meme. Nobody, Billy the Kid explains his backstory. Like,
that's the thing. You can tell they're trying so hard, because even like there's that one scene with the barricade, like you're saying, where suddenly Ethan Hawke and Dane DeHaan start yelling at each other. It's like a game of who can overact more in the scene. Like, I'm gonna shout louder. No, I'm gonna shout louder. No, I'm gonna shout louder at you in this scene. Like you said, you went to the bathroom and missed it. There was at least one part, too, where they cut to a scene with a hanging, and I don't know how we got there. Like, literally, there was a point where something happens, and then something else happens, and then suddenly we're at the scene of the hanging. I'm like, wait, did because I watched this with my fiance, I'm just like, did we miss something? Wait, who was that? I don't know anymore.
That threw me off a little bit, but what threw me off more is, the only reason, it's really unclear, because you think at some point during the movie, they're going to separate. And for no reason should Billy the Kid and the kid have any interaction. But then through some Deus Ex Machina shit, Billy the Kid somehow knows this kid's sister because they roll together in a gang. And I'm like,
I don't get that at all. I don't understand.
I feel like they just made that up to keep this movie's plot going.
Yeah. Again, it's that whole fan fiction thing where suddenly it's like, oh, these original characters I've created, they're connected to everybody important in the story. Yeah. And again, I can't emphasize how much that apparently these guys think that Pat Garrett is like the greatest lawman ever, because he has like superhero moments in this movie of like, you know, gunslinging prowess, you know?
Oh, he gets fucking brutally beat with a piece of wood and just walks it off like it didn't matter.
Right. I thought he had smashed that dude's head, smashed Ethan Hawke's head in that scene. And I'm like, nope, he's fine.
Walked it off. His insta healing, man. He's a superhero.
Which also to say that this movie is like weirdly super violent at some points too, where like you don't think it's gonna get too gross, but then you see like splattered head wounds and that stuff, you know, in a lot of these death scenes. I'm just like, okay. And see, those are the only moments when I woke up, because at least stuff happened in those scenes, you know?
Yeah, like the one action scene at the end, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, and that's it. Because again, the trailer sells this movie as kind of a thriller and then kind of like a John Wick like action movie. It's neither.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing because, again, this is one of those characters you always see and you always hear about, Billy the Kid. You say Billy the Kid to anybody on the street, but, oh, yeah, the Western shooting, all that. Like, they know Billy. He's such an iconic name. And it's like, there's nothing in this movie. Like, I don't know any more about him now than I did prior to watching.
Oh, you know what's even worse? I'm not going to say what exactly or how or why in this movie without spoiling it. But when you think about everything that happens in this film, you suddenly realize they really did not even need to put Billy the Kid in this movie. Like, literally, it served no purpose whatsoever to have him as a character in this.
Oh, yeah. He could have just not been in the movie, and it would have been the same movie.
Exactly. I'm shocked. Like, when that part happened, I've just realized, I'm like, wow, you guys just wasted a whole bunch of Dane DeHaan in this movie.
I just realized, you know what a better version of this movie is? True Grit.
Yeah, no, True Grit, and even Magnificent Seven's a better version of this movie, you know?
Nah, because True Grit is good from start to finish. Magnificent Seven's only really good at
the Well, okay, I'm still saying it's better than this movie. So
True.
And that's the thing, when you realize, you're like, oh, well, pretty much Vincent D'Onofrio, Ethan Hawke, and Chris Pratt just liked working together on Magnificent Seven. They're like, hey, let's do it again. Do you got a script? We'll figure something, you know?
Yeah, it seems like they didn't even get out of costume for some of them.
I mean, yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio, like, he lost a little weight, you know, between that movie and this movie. It's like, yeah, he might as well be playing more or less the same types of character. You know, all of them have been playing the same types of characters. Because Ethan Hawke is more or less literally playing the same character in this movie.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt is playing modern-day Shia LaBeouf. There's a scene near the end of the movie where he just kind of walks out of the bar. I'm like, you look exactly like modern-day Shia LaBeouf.
That's amazing. I didn't even think about that, but now I totally see it. Yeah, you know, I really don't know what else to say about this. This movie is just, its biggest sin is that it's so freaking dull. And I think it's one of those things that actors think these kind of movies are interesting, where it's like, yeah, we're watching them, you know, beautiful landscapes and ponderous looks and thought-provoking ideas about what does it mean to be a criminal and what does it mean to be a hero. And it's just that poorly thought out, where it's just a bunch of ideas that never really go anywhere.
It's yeah, because I think, again, one of the biggest problems is, like, it's a whole thing of, like, there's not one person that makes a movie good or bad. Because we brought up, like, Ethan Hawke's acting when he's explaining his first kill, when Billy Kidd explaining his first kill, anytime Chris Pratt ever says anything. Like, those are great moments.
Yeah.
But in the in-between, it's, like, it's borders from not mattering to not interesting.
Yeah, and it's even worse. Like, I was looking up the credits of this movie while I was watching it because I was really just that uninterested in this. But yeah. I noticed, too, that the editor wasn't listed on the IMDb page. And I'm like, wait, what, did nobody edit this movie?
That makes so much sense. Like, I was like, because we're texting each other during this movie, and I'm like, yo, man, who edited this movie? And he goes, it's not listed. I'm like, did they just film this in, like, one shot?
Well, from what it looks like, there actually was an editor on the Wikipedia page, but I have to assume this was a first-time editing job, because otherwise they would have had more credits, I'm sure. So, and again, maybe. it's an amateur production from Vincent D'Onofrio, from most of the people involved, except for the cinematographer and the actors. You know, those are the people who were veterans who know what they're doing, and that's really what it just felt like. So,
I really think that this is one of those things where you show films going and go, okay, it doesn't matter how good your acting is, this is what, editing will ruin a movie.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know, what would you say for your final thoughts, if there's anything else you want to add?
Honestly, that's about it. I'm sure there's little things, like, I looked at my notes, I'm like, there's little things, but, like, it doesn't matter without the context, but honestly, it's upsetting, because I was really anticipating this movie. I was, like, freaking out when I saw the trailer, because I finally get to hear the story, and I'm like, man, I really hope that Highwaymen is a better movie.
Yeah, no, I think that one, just by the name of the director and a few other things, I'm like, I think it probably has a little bit more promise compared to this.
I hope so.
Yeah, so what would you give for your final arbitrary rating?
One loaded cylinder out of six.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, again, I just... I can't underestimate how underwhelming this movie is. You know, it's just, it's slow, it's tedious. The main character and actor aren't very good in this movie. All the other actors are overcompensating like crazy to make up for the slack in this movie. It was just kind of a waste of time, honestly. And I don't know. Vincent D'Onofrio, you're a good actor. I hope Daredevil gets revived back, but maybe step aside from directing for a bit, you know? Yeah. Honestly, so I gotta give this movie 4 out of 10 F-words that Chris Pratt has used in his entire career. Because that shocked me when I'm just like, wait a minute, did Chris Pratt just say the F-word? And then he proceeds to say it for like 7 more times throughout his screen time.
Wait, this movie's rated R?
I know, right? No, that kind of shocked me. But that's the thing, I'm like, I've never heard Chris Pratt actually say the F-word in any of his movies before. It was just so, it was such a disconnect. Yeah, so, yeah, don't watch this movie. It sucks.
Nah, I've avoided it.